Hmm? What?
Do you hear it?
No. What am I hearing? I'm supposed to be hearing. Well, my ears aren't as good as... Hmm? What?
Foghorn.
Wait, there's a foghorn? Where? I don't...
Hear it?
Oh, yes, now I hear it. Now, is that nice to listen to while you're lying here? Grandson, I've got what they say is some good news and some bad news. Which do you want?
The good. I don't want any bad.
Well, unfortunately, that's not the way the system works. How about I alternate good and bad?
I don't want any bad.
First, some bad. You're going to have your tonsils out.
What? You mean cut them out?
Yes, you're going to have an operation. But that's actually good news because it should mean many fewer colds and episodes like what we just went through.
Tomorrow morning.
Then they want you to stay here a few more days after that before they send you home.
Miss Christmas?
Probably. Or maybe you'll be home Christmas Day. Santa Claus has been notified. Everything's on hold.
What's the good news?
Well, the good news is after your operation, you can eat as much ice cream as you want. So is a rubber knife that you can have as soon as you get out. It's waiting for you when you get home.
Oh, boy.
And then with your mask and fins, well, you'll be Lloyd Bridges in Sea Hunt.
What? Sea Hunt?
Never mind. And furthermore, we don't have to stick to our customary schedule. I'll be reading you a new episode every day.
Grandpa, did you ever have your tonsils out?
Never. Well, I never did. I've never had to. Now, let's get to reading. Let's see what's going to happen. After the church door has closed, now comes again the familiar act of fetching the flame. It's an act we've witnessed before, haven't we? There. You see? There. Look up on the altar. What looks to be a powder puff hooching up the side of the candle? That's our Andy, climbing up with his straw. Now, keep your eye on the flame. There. See how it suddenly bifurcates? Once there was one, now there are two. Andy's taper is now lit, and he knows what to do with it. And so do we. Sliding down the candle shaft, slipping down the soapy brass, zipping across the tablecloth, rappelling down and dropping off, getting up and taking off. No concealing wax this time obscures his vision. No dribbles on his fur or hair. Hastening forward quickly there, he runs as fast as he dares to without overfeeding the flame. Suddenly, out of the corner of our eyes, we spy what Andy cannot register out of his. Something else within the nave is moving, something that is low and racing quickly along the floor, running up the outside of the pews. Compared to Andy, it is running much faster than he, following a different vector but aiming for the same intersector, which is a rendezvous right outside the mouse house door. All at once, bump, bump, bump. Three muffled collisions in a row. The first a head-on, the second and third classic rear-enders. However, in the aftermath, we are presented by a jumble of tangled mice piled up like pelts on a Voyager's sleigh. Four draped mice, like corpses, lay all in one heap, the white one on the bottom, the heaviest on top, and in between, the two cousins, struggling to get him off.
Hey, what? Get off!
All four are stunned and shocked and slow coming round. Andy the slowest because he was the lowest and the others are slow getting off. However, like before, Uncle Bobo's bad breath works like smelling salts, clearing Andy's head. He wakes up to Uncle Bobo saying, "Better get up, you're still aflame." Meanwhile, in the lair, Grandfather Mouse had been counting the seconds alone in the dark, nervously anticipating Andy's return. Imagine how his heart leaps with sheer delight as he detects the first lumens of straw light filtering up the passageway.
Though one side of his face is still hanging slack.
The other half beams with a lopsided grin that is focused on his grandson as his grandson bursts in, lunging for the nearest candle stub. But when Grandfather Mouse also sees what the cat's dragged in, his smile inverts to a frown that rivals the famous
Emmett Kelly the Clown.
Oh, there you are, Grandfather Mouse. Don't say it. It's been such a long time, hasn't it? Ah, yes, too long. But, what's this? Having a party without us? Were you expecting us? Is that the reason these plates are set out? Or were you merely hoping something like Emmanuel showing? Ha, 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 only joking.
Grandfather Mouse coldly informed him of whose birthday it was. Uncle Bobo launches in again.
Sir, you are correct. You have guessed it. That is exactly why we've come, to celebrate our dear cousin's birth. Now, without further ado, why don't we partake of this glorious feast? Oh, I believe I spied some angel food cake with white seafoam frosting. My favorite, he said, lunging for it.
Grandfather Mouse held up his paw and said, Stop! Commanding like a traffic cop, he said,
You may join us for some celebration if you like, but leave the sponge cake for Andy. It's his. It belongs to him. We've been saving it for his birthday.
Bobo bared his fangs and said,
What? Then this is the thanks we get for coming all this way to honor your kin. See this mortar dust covering my clothes? That's because your chinky passageway has become quite enclosed. I had a very difficult time squeezing in here. Please, sir, do not insult me by suggesting we are here for any other purpose than to honor our special cousin, our favorite guy. Andy. Yes, Andy, I know. Andy. Now, as we are all quite famished and depleted from our journey, let us all dig in. Have at it, cousins. Let the feasting begin.
Zeke and Eeky echoed the sentiment.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Yeah, let's eat.
Grandfather tried shouting, Stop! Again, but they bowled him over like a bowling pin and dove headfirst into the soft, Tempur-Pedic-like dough.
Gorge, gorge, munch, munch.
Grandfather tried to haul them out, but they were too embedded to budge. When Zeke and Eeky finally did come up for air, white seafoam frosting was grease-painting their faces. One looked like a mime, the other like a geisha. Powered by their sugar highs, the two ill-mannered mice pointed at each other and laughed till they rolled on their backs. Zeke says to Eeky,
Ha ha, what a sad sack! Now you look just like Pink Eye.
To which Eeky replies,
Yeah, well, so do you.
By then, Uncle Bobo had sat up too. He was reaming out his nose with his tongue. At this moment, the fluttering candle flames were creating a strobe-like effect upon the walls, making the mice appear to flicker and turning the carved figurines and their dark silhouettes into jiggling jello statuettes. A perfectly ghoulish aspect for what happens next. For suddenly, disaster! An uninvited party crasher, this one entering stealthily like a shadow along the floor. For one millisecond or more, Andy thinks he's seeing another scene he has witnessed before. He was thinking of that time when Deaky disappeared when they were all standing just inside the mouse house door, and the pirate cat, with its sweeping forearm, reached in and snatched away poor Deaky's life. That's what Andy thinks he's seeing now, another furry forearm. But then, to his mounting alarm and the alarm of Grandfather Mouse and Uncle Bobo and the other mice, too, who are all thinking the same thing, expecting to see a fist mounted at the end of a wrist. But what dumbfounds them instead is realizing it's not a fist at all, but a head. Which means, wait, can only mean, well, what the heck? A
that the long flowing arm that's flowing in here is really a long flowing neck. Panic. Thy name is Mouse. All five mice in the lair, the white one, the old one, the big one, and the two very obnoxious ones, were completely caught off guard by the unheralded entrance of the moving black shadow, which was the snake. All had the same erroneous first impression, what they were mistaking to be the furry arm of the cat, such that they expected to see a cat's paw at the end of the arm. Well, what did they see instead? A head. A head which suddenly arose and opened its mouth and plucked Zeke up by his head, up in the air, arms and feet flailing in disbelief. While at the same time, it withdraws from the room with a smooth reverse glide, something like the 505 pulling out of Victoria Station. As soon as the creature departs, the room erupts in panic. When the snake first showed, they had all five froze, except Grandfather Mouse, who quickly tried to blow the candle out to give them the cover of darkness. All he succeeded in doing, however, was tripping and pitching forward, thus bumping the candle, which caused it to roll all the way until it came to rest up against the far wall, where it continued to burn. Tearfully, Iki asked him,
What are we going to do now?
Bobo nodded for Iki to follow, then turned with a spurn and a haughty sniff, and said to Grandfather Mouse,
Well, I hope you're happy. This is the second vacation you've managed to ruin. Come on, Iki, we're going, and this time we're not coming back.
He started to lead, but stopped.
On second thought, Iki, why don't you go first? That way I can cover your back. Do it.
Iki didn't want to do it, until a couple of repeated cuffs upside the head managed to change his mind.
Do it!
Then they took off in the twinkling of an eye. Andy Mouse turned and said,
Grandfather, shouldn't we be going too? What if it comes back?
We may be safer here than elsewhere, at least for the time being. Besides, running away in panic is something you should almost never do.
Grandpa?
Hmm?
What about the burning candle?
I'm coming to that. Suddenly... Suddenly, both mice stopped conversing and sniffed the air, noticing a smoky odor that hadn't been there before. Then they looked over and saw blue flames licking up the wall just above where the candle had rolled to a stop. Both mice had enough appreciation of the laws of things catching fire to instinctively run and quickly roll the candle back away from the wall. As soon as they did, by the sheer grace of somebody's beneficence, the blue flames licked themselves out and were extinguished. Phew, that was close. The stubborn old wood just wouldn't burn, which was good, because neither mouse really understood how lucky they had just been, particularly Andy, who, being so young, had no clear understanding of fire's deadly consequences, of its risks, of its stakes, and how playing with flame, even a little one, can be more dangerous than playing with a box full of snakes. They might have burned down the whole place, and they themselves with it. Then, a scant few seconds after that crisis was averted, the previously departed freeloaders burst back in, untwinkling, as it were, and demanding to speak to the management. Grandfather Mouse asked, What happened? Did the creature come after you? Not quite, Uncle Bobo replied. Shall I tell you? It's that chink of yours out there. The chink is not functioning at all. What do you mean? What I just said, Dunderhead. It's closed off.
You can't get through it. Nobody can. Not even scrawny Pink Eye here could manage it. So, understand me, Gramps. You show us a way out of here right now. I don't like being trapped in a tight space with something lurking to eat me.
Eeky shrieked meekly.
Wait a minute. You mean you're saying we're trapped? Trapped like?
Never mind what we're trapped like,
Bobo said, cutting him off.
It's a rat. It's a rat. It's a rat.
It's a rat.
Grandfather replied, "You may as well calm down. There is no way out." Uncle Bobo rose again, towering over the frail mouse, and said,
"You better be lying when you say that, saggy face, because if you think I'm going to be left holding the bag for your malfeasance, I didn't say there was no way out. I said there was no way out at the moment. There will be later." "How much later? When?" Bobo said.
Eeky chimed in again.
How will we get out if we're all sealed in?
"Well, it's true we are, and that's why in terms of escape there is only one avenue for us to pursue. Which is that we leave the next time the humans do."
Andy Mouse jumped in. "But Grandfather, you're not talking about us leaving permanently."
"I'm afraid so, Andy. We have to."
"But not forever."
"We must."
"But if we do, how will my parents ever find us? How will I ever find them?"
"It's not what I want to do either, Andy, but we have no other choice. This threat is more formidable than anything we've ever faced. By comparison, the cat was a cinch. We knew we could safely manage him because he was too big to fit into the spaces we were able to go. Oh, not so with this monster, being roughly of our size, diameter-wise. It can penetrate to wherever we're hiding and polish us off whenever it wants to. No place in this building is safe for us anymore."
"Show us or tell us how to get out of here now."
"By the front door."
"By the front door?"
"Yes, we leave when the humans do. They'll be coming back in about an hour."
"And we just waltz right out with them?"
"Baskets. I was thinking baskets."
"We ride out in baskets?"
"Not in, under. In about an hour, some humans will be coming by to pick them up."
"Excuse me, Mr. Hooper. I'm sorry. I'm afraid we're going to have to interrupt your reading now.
Oh, of course.
Andrew needs to go down for a few tests before tomorrow's procedure. Thank you."
"This is a good place for us to stop anyway, isn't it, Andy?"
"Will it hurt?"
"What, your tonsils? No. They won't feel a thing."
"No, I mean me.
"Well, yes. Your throat will be sore for a few days. Kind of like it was before this, but this time without the fever. And I'll be here when you wake up with more crushed ice and to read you another chapter."